You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. And today's episode is being dropped on the 28th day of February, 2020. Jeff Snyder's our guest from Locked On Dodgers, and guess what we're going to talk about? No, seriously, guess. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Podplay, wherever you get it. You know how to listen to a podcast. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're listening to us on the website, which is lockedonmlb.com. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day, and you got Locked On Dodgers with Jeff. You get Locked On Yankees with Stacy Gatsoulias, Locked On Red Sox with Gabrielle, Locked On Padres with Javier, Locked On Mets with Ryan. All these people have been on the show, and you can check them out, whatever your team is, or if you want to check out other teams. It's a great network. Check us out. We're on Twitter at Locked On MLB underscore net. We're also on Instagram at Locked On MLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Now that we got rid of all the formalities, let's bring in our guest who was on our show during the season last year, but we're going to bring him on again right now. Sitting in front of a wall of bobbleheads, we have Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sully. It's good to be back with you. It's been almost a year, so glad to talk with you again.
All right, let's get on to it. Let's talk about the Dodgers here. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Dodgers didn't win the World Series last year.
No, last year they didn't even get cheated out of it.
I know. I went to game one of the division series between Washington and LA, which the Dodgers won pretty easily. And I remember thinking, well, this is... The Nats had a nice little run winning the wild card game, but there's no way they're beating this Dodger team. And boy, was I wrong.
I guess so.
I firmly believe that if Will Smith's drive to right center field found the gap in the bottom of the ninth of game five, that would have been the walk-off hit. I firmly believe the Dodgers would have made mincemeat out of the Cardinals. And yep. Probably, who knows what would have happened against Houston, because there's so many wild card factors in that. But I think they would have won it all. I mean, that was really that close for the team last year.
Yeah, last year was a tough one to swallow because, yeah, so many little things and, you know, so many little things that could have changed the outcome of game five. And then seeing this team that, bottom line, the Nationals weren't as good as the Dodgers, and then they go on to win the World Series, and it was definitely frustrating to watch the rest of that postseason.
Yeah, I mean, there are some points of view you can have when you lose in the postseason. One is you would like the team to beat you to be the one that won it all, but at the same time, it's frustrating when you're like, oh, but we had such a clear path. Yeah. I remember in both 88 and 90, the Red Sox got clobbered by Oakland in the ALCS. And then in the World Series, the Dodgers beat the A's in five and the Reds swept them. And yeah. I remember thinking, why couldn't we do that? We had Clemens. What's going on here?
Hey, we had Tim Belcher, you know?
Yeah, two Tim Belcher versus Dave Stewart matchups, and they both went the Dodgers' way. Bring yeah. that to Vegas. But so I had said on a previous episode of Locked On MLB going into this offseason that the Dodgers needed to do something to sort of shake up any stagnancy that would happen with the team. Like maybe they needed some big move to sort of shake things up. And, oh boy, I think that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was questionable whether it was going to happen. I was kind of on the fence about whether they needed it, because the fact is they did win 106 games last year, you know, and postseason baseball is still technically the same sport as the regular season, you know? And so last year's team, like you said, if if a couple balls bounced differently in that one game, then the Dodgers maybe are the World Series champions. And nobody is saying you need to change things up. Right. And so, you know, really what it boils down to is, do we really want to make these big decisions based on one game that very easily could have gone the other direction, you know? But the fact is, the Dodgers did go into the offseason willing to change things up. But the bottom line is, when you are a team that won 106 games, it's hard. There's no obvious upgrades. You know, Gerrit Cole would have been an absolute upgrade. And so they were in on Gerrit Cole. You know, Anthony Rendon would have been an upgrade. It would have been a little trickier because you'd have to find a spot to play him because the Dodgers have a third baseman already. Mm-hmm. But that would have been an upgrade. So, you know, they were in on him until they found out he didn't want to play in LA. You know, but, you know, other guys, you know, Dallas Keuchel, he wouldn't have really been an upgrade. Steven Strasburg would have been an upgrade, but he was always going back to D.C.
Yeah, he was never leaving. He was never going.
You know, and so, you know, Dallas Keuchel, not an upgrade, really. Not enough to justify the contract he was going to want. Zach Wheeler, kind of the same thing, you know. So of the free agents available, you know, once they missed out on the big guys, it was like, well, you know, there's nobody else who's actually an obvious upgrade. Unless, of course, they did something crazy like trade for Mookie Betts. But, you know, other than that, you know, and then it's like, oh, I guess they're going to do something crazy.
I think sometimes something like that could also, like, energize the team and the fan base that we've got this big new shiny star to come into the team. It is similar to and again, everyone's going to roll their eyes and bring up another Red Sox example, but the Red Sox lost the 2003 ALCS on the Aaron Boone game, and they made a couple of earth-shattering moves, and the biggest one was bringing in Curt Schilling and then signing Keith Foulke, who at the time was one of the best relievers in baseball. But the Schilling move, and then later dealing Nomar because he was injured, said, nope, we got to win right now. But that energized the team, and you could easily have said, you know, the Red Sox had a 5-2 lead in Game 7 of the ALCS. They were on the verge of going to the World Series. That was about to be the team that everyone went to their grandparents' graves with a Red Sox hat and cried, say, well, they won, Pappy. You know, so it was, you know, the fact that the team, they knew they needed to make a giant splash. They almost traded for A-Rod that offseason. I mean, that was that they needed to do something to say, we're going to try to win it. Let's get the bad taste of that loss out of our mouth and get right to this cannonball into it. You know, the Blue Jays doing that when they had lost a bunch of years really close to getting to the World Series. And then they finally said, heck with it. Let's make the McGriff and Tony Fernandez for Joe Carter and Roberto Alomar. Let's just do something that shakes up the DNA of the team. Or even the Braves after losing the 92 World Series and, all right, the heck with it. Let's sign Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
That there is a sign of, if we're going to go for this, this will create a buzz even amongst the players, that the talk of spring training is not, can you believe they lost it again? But, you know, let's welcome in Mookie Betts. And David Price, who was a big reason the Red Sox won that World Series in 2018.
Yeah. David Price is overlooked a little bit, partly because Mookie Betts is literally, you know, a future Hall of Famer in his prime.
Red Sox fan to me, just my heart is just crumbling. But I did so many episodes where I was trashing the trade. Now we got to hear from the other point of view. And this is we listen to all sides on the national show. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, but yeah, David Price is not somebody I'm overlooking. I don't know if he'll ever be an ace again, but I do think, you know, this isn't a surprise necessarily. David Price is not the first person to clash with the media in Boston, you know, and he won't be the last. And, you know, we saw it with Adrian Gonzalez. Just Adrian Gonzalez was a legit superstar. Then he went to the Red Sox and, struggled on and off the field. And then went to the Dodgers and was very good again, you know? And so getting out of Boston, you know, I have nothing against the city of Boston, but I do think there is a history of players getting out of Boston and regaining some of their former greatness.
Yeah. And I think that it may be a change of turning the page. And I think Mookie is going to have a energized big time, and I think it's going to energize the Dodgers big time. And it certainly is giving a sense of excitement to the team. And they did lose Ryu, and I don't think that's a small loss. I do think you have Bueller, you have Kershaw. Having Price as your three or four is not bad at all. And I think that their lineup, you add Betts to what's already a pretty good lineup. Now, the question is, what is going to happen? Are they going to deal Peterson? Or is that – I know they almost dealt him to the – I almost call them the California Angels, to the LA Angels.
Yeah.
What's happening there? Are they going to keep him?
It seems right now like the plan is to keep him and have him and A.J. Pollock combined to be one of the best hitting left fielders in baseball. You know, it's kind of weird that they're going to pay A.J. Pollock $12 million to get 250 plate appearances. But, you know, if you combine Pollock and Jock, it's like $20 million for a guy, you know, combine them, they're probably going to hit 40 home runs, you know?
Yeah. And you would, that's a good, if you get that kind of production out of the outfield, that's worth $20 million, I think.
Yeah, and not just from the outfield, but from your third outfielder. That's with the reigning MVP and the former MVP in center and right, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx them. I did pick the Dodgers to win the World Series last year, and I picked them to win it going into the postseason. I picked them at the beginning of the year, and I picked them going into the postseason. And again, I feel that if Kershaw doesn't pitch the eighth, or the Will Smith ball hits the gap, which it looked like it was going to, I don't think the Cardinals would have even won a game.
Yeah, they didn't against the Nationals, right?
Yeah, they didn't against the Nationals. I think the Dodgers would have beaten them in three. Like it would have been 3-0, and they just went, no, we're not even coming back. We're not even going to field the team. We forfeit. Yep. But I do like this move for LA. I do think it sends the right message to the fans, to the team. I think it's the sense of, hey, let's put that behind us. Because all it takes for this wonderful run that Los Angeles has had recently, we saw it with the Nats last year, which is all you got to do is win it once, and it makes all the years that it didn't come true sort of a prologue and made it even sweeter. Like if
especially
the Nationals,
when you can say, oh, in those 2 years we lost the World Series, you know, the other team cheated.
Okay, let's address the elephant in the room, and the elephant is not the A's mascot. The elephant is the 2017, and I'll say it, Red Sox fans, brace yourselves, the 2018 World Series. Your point of view of this, I mean, this is, we know, I mean, even the players have been, yeah, they cheated big time in 2017. And one of the, I mean, we saw that like Altuve and was it Correa's and Bregman's stats on or McCann's stats, I forget who it was, but certainly Altuve's stats at home were, you know, Barry Bonds circa 2002.
Yeah,
and on the road was an American League pitcher. And what Tom Verducci wrote about game 5 of the 2017 World Series, that Clayton Kershaw threw 51 breaking balls and not one pitch resulted in a swing and miss.
Yeah, and I've seen conflicting reports that maybe it was one, maybe it was zero, but either way, you know, would have expected, based on his swing and miss rates on those pitches, you would have expected around 20, and they had either zero or one swing and miss. So, you know, it's not conclusive, but I think
a lot lower than it should have been. A lot lower than it should have been.
Yep. And so, yeah, I think the biggest problem here, Sully, is what the Astros took from us is knowing what happened. You know, Astros defenders say, well, there's no proof that it helped them. And even if you grant that premise, which is, you know, obviously, like we're saying, there's evidence against it. But even if you grant it, even if you can say there's no proof, the fact is we don't know what would have happened. And the beauty of baseball, one of the beautiful things about baseball is at the end of the year, one team stands on the field and holds a trophy over their head, and you know what happened.
Yeah.
And the problem is we know what happened. We don't know what should have happened. We don't know if something different should have happened. We don't know if the Dodgers should have been playing a different team in the World Series. We don't know if the Dodgers should have won the World Series. We don't know, and we'll never know. And that is what the Astros stole from us. And that's why, like, I'm mad as a Dodger fan, sure. I mean, I sat there in Dodger Stadium for game seven. Strangers saw tears come out of my eyes, you know? Right. So as a Dodger fan, I'm upset about that. But as a baseball fan, I'm upset about it that they took, you know, other than 1994, we have 118 years of World Series champions. And now there's one or two years that you're like, well, do we though? You know? And that's upsetting to me as a baseball fan.
I'll tell you another thing that's upsetting for me as, and I'm going to address 2018 in a second, because I'm going to show that I'm, while I am a native New Englander and a Red Sox fan, I am not, I'm not going to let my team off the hook. And, but the thing that I find most frustrating in retrospect, and I alluded to it in the Verducci clip there, is that 2017 could have been Clayton Kershaw's John Elway moment. That, and for those of you wondering what the heck I'm talking about, Elway played in, what, three or four Super Bowls, at least three Super Bowls, where he lost all of them. And so he had this reputation of being the greatest regular season quarterback, but you put him in the Super Bowl and he gets clobbered. And his final two seasons, the Broncos won the Super Bowl, one against Green Bay and the other against, I think it was Atlanta. I don't remember. I don't know if Super Bowl. So, but I know his final two Super Bowls were, the final two seasons, he won the Super Bowl. And so then no one could hold that on him anymore. He was a champion. He delivered it. And it really only takes one. And Kershaw is the greatest pitcher of this generation. He is. The argument for someone like Bumgarner was never regular season. Kershaw ran laps around him in the regular season, but Bumgarner always came up big in the postseason. Now, Kershaw has had some excellent games in the postseason. He hasn't always been a punching bag. But in 2017, he had a very good game in the clinching game against the Cubs in the NLCS. He didn't go as deep because it was such a blowout. I mean, it was like, yeah, it was 11-1. So there was no reason to have him pitch into the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. But Kershaw came out, pitched game one of the World Series. His first ever World Series game was in 2017. And he dominated the Astros. Yeah. He let up an early home run, but then the rest of it, he let up two more hits, struck out 11, walked none. There isn't an ace in the history of baseball you wouldn't be happy with that particular line from. And in game seven of the World Series, he came out of the bullpen and threw four shutout innings to basically stop the bleeding and give the Dodgers a chance. So he was lining himself up to be the World Series MVP and get this proverbial monkey off of his back. And in the middle of it, he started the bizarre game five of the World Series, where he let up six runs. He let up a home run to, what was it, Gurriel, I think it was? Yep. Let up six runs, didn't get out of the fifth. The final score was 13-12. I mean, that's a little league game. And we know that the Astros were banging trash cans that day and not swinging at his curveballs. If he pitched a normal Clayton Kershaw game, even a good game, he's probably the World Series MVP. He is, there's no more talking about his bad Octobers. He is on the, he's now in the conversation of, is he the greatest Dodger of all time? At least in the top three or four. But now, because he also lost in the World Series against the Red Sox, which I think there was shenanigans, and he led up the two home runs to the Nationals out of the bullpen last year, he still has this, always a choker. He's a big choker. And I think this is a guy, this was going to be his crowning moment. And it was taken away from even me, a baseball fan.
And I'll take it one step further, Sully. If Kershaw is the MVP or co-MVP of the World Series in 2017, you know, maybe co, because Jock Peterson did really, really well that series. So maybe it's a co-MVP situation.
Right.
But if he is, Dave Roberts doesn't feel the need to go on a Clayton Kershaw redemption tour in the 2019 postseason, doesn't feel a need to use Clayton Kershaw in relief in the eighth inning of game five of the NLDS when the Dodgers have eight rested relievers who are used to pitching in that situation. You know, so it's not just it's not just the 2017 redemption that rippled down, you know, because I honestly believe Dave Roberts went with his heart instead of his brain in game five of the NLDS in 2019 and said, no, I want Clayton Kershaw to have this moment. I want Clayton Kershaw to get Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon in the clinching game. I want him to show everybody he can do it, you know, and then he didn't do it. But I mean, they had eight relievers, including some guys who were really, really good, you know, and they needed eight relievers. They had six outs left. You know, I'm fine bringing Kershaw in that last out of the seventh inning. Fine. I still would.
And he got the out, but then you go.
Yeah, because he was facing Adam Eaton, who, you know, can't hit, you know, but, you know, these ripple down stuff. And that's the uncertainty I'm talking about, because, I mean, obviously it would be ridiculous Dodger partisan hyperbole to say that the Astros cheating stole the 2019 World Series from the Dodgers.
Right.
But it still, it impacted it. It changed the course. It's Back to the Future too. And suddenly Clayton Kershaw is waking up on some dude's porch, breaking into his window and getting shot at with a shotgun, you know?
Well, these things don't happen in vacuums. Things affect other things. I mean, you know, if the Red Sox win the Aaron Boone game, Curt Schilling is probably never a Red Sox, you know, and Grady Little is a beloved figure in Red Sox history. And Terry Francona is an obscure former Phillies manager. I mean, there's all these things happen. And Dave Roberts is this guy. Oh, this guy, I think he played for the Dodgers or the Padres. I can't remember. I think he was fast. You know, he would have been Alex Cole, you know? So, I mean, all
without
these things.
The glasses.
Right, exactly. Good for you. But you know, these things happen. There are ripple effects of things that happen. And you're 100% right. A lot of things are different in Dodger history. And let's face it, in Astros history, too, if the Astros win Game 5 of the World Series, or if Los Angeles wins Game 5 of that World Series, and Clayton Kershaw is at least, even if he doesn't win the series MVP, is remembered as a champion. I mean, like Pedro Martinez wasn't the World Series MVP of 04, but his one game he pitched in that World Series, he pitched seven innings, no runs. Or a bigger point, Randy Johnson, which people forget, before 2001, Randy Johnson had a really spotty postseason record. He lost a lot of big games in the postseason, but people remember him as a big postseason player because of how he and Curt Schilling basically won that 2001 World Series by himself. And in the years afterwards, Johnson went back to losing a bunch of big postseason games. He was not good with the Diamondbacks and the Yankees in the later years of his career in the postseason. But no one remembers that because of that one year where it all clicked. And that's what we could have had with Clayton Kershaw.
Yep. Yeah. It's Clayton Kershaw is my favorite player, maybe of all time. You know, he's right up there. And yeah, you're hitting me in the heart right now, Sully.
All right. Well, look, I'm hitting you in the heart, and pretty soon we got to hit stop on record here because we're going a little bit longer than we want. But do you know what? This is what Lockdown's about. It's a spirited conversation. Went
it's
down a
Friday.
Bunch of
past- Nobody's working today anyway.
I know. Everyone.
Listen to podcasts all day, guys.
Do you know what? I'll say it. Everybody's working for the weekend. So
this now sing it, Sully. Sing it.
Everybody's working. Oh, I don't want to get locked on MLB in trouble with any
now
sort
do the
of
Chris
a-
Farley dance.
You know what? If this were video, you don't know what you'd be saying. All right, folks, this podcast went long, but do you know what? I don't care. This was fun. You and I had a lot of fun on
you
here.
You never did admit that the Red Sox are cheating cheaters.
Oh, the Red Sox are cheating cheaters, and I have psychologically distanced myself from the 2018 championship. I had a lot of fun that year, but I can honestly say that if they found out that there was, if the investigation shows it, I said in November when it was first solidifying that the Astros did in 2017, I said here on Lockdown MLB, I said, I bet the Red Sox did too. I bet they were cheating like crazy in 2018. And I've not backed down from that stance. So I've warned on Twitter to my fellow New England sports fans, don't crow too much. Don't crow too much about the Astros because they're going to find out stuff about our team. There's a reason Alex Cora is out of a job right now. And there's a reason that the Red Sox went from a good division-winning team to suddenly the best team in baseball, steamrolling a terrific Yankees, Astros, and Dodger team to the World Series title. And I don't think it was all because of Hart. I think they did something. I think we're going to find out soon. And the minute that happens, I don't, you know, Red Sox fans, be prepared. We're going to get the Astros treatment. How about that? How about that for me being fair?
There you have it.
All right. Thank God we won three other World Series in my lifetime.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd handle it if it was the Dodgers that cheated to win a World Series, because, I mean, they've won two in my lifetime, but one of them I was four and the other one I was 11. So, you know, I could use something new.
Yeah. I mean, if this were the, 04 title, I would be just apoplectic.
Yeah. But like I told you last year when we talked, Sully, I don't believe that it's all about winning the World Series. I think that's awesome, but the Dodgers won 106 games last year, and I had a blast for 6 months of the year watching the Dodgers play, and one bad night doesn't change that. Obviously, it didn't end the way I wanted it to, but the Dodgers last year, they had five straight home games in a walk-off. They had, you know, I think 11 or 12 total walk-off wins, 106 wins, you know, Ryu's magical season, Kershaw being awesome even with diminished stuff. You know, it was a great season, and I am already psyched to watch all of the 2020 season, not just waiting for October, even though clearly the Dodgers are going to be playing in October. But I am a big fan of the regular season, and I think there's a lot of value in having a team that thoroughly entertains you for at least 6 months of the year.
God, I love how centered you are. I'm an unreasonable man. Well, folks, you could hear more centered points of view like that at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff, tell where people could find you.
Yeah, I am on Twitter at Snidog, S-N-I-D-O-G. Like Sully said, listen to Locked On Dodgers if you're interested at all. Today's episode actually is the second part of an interview I did with Keith Law about his top 100 prospects, talking obviously about the Dodgers on the list. And we also talked a little bit about Jeter Downs, the recently former Dodger who's now a Red Sox. Vince and I have a lot of fun talking Dodgers. Twitter's the best place to find me.
There you go. All right. Well, you can follow us at LockedOnMLB_net at Twitter, LockedOnMLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Going all over the map, the host of Locked On Dodgers, Jeff Snyder. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.